Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, and welcome to New Life Live. Really glad you're with us today. I've got Dr. Alice Benton.
Hello.
And Chris Williams here.
Hey.
And on the line, I've got a really special guest. By the way, if you want to join us on the phone, you can call in at 1-800-229-3000. Now, many of you know I spoke at Promise Keepers, and it was one of the greatest honors, and just some of the things that have happened since then have been so fantastic to hear people starting to deal with the fact that they paid for an abortion or something like that. And the president of Promise Keepers, Vance Day, is on the line. And I thought, since we had promoted the event so much here, that it would be great to hear from Vance, just a wonderful guy who is the nuts and bolts of this organization, Promise Keepers, to let us know how things have gone and what were some of the results. So, Vance, welcome to New Life Live.
Oh, it's great to be with you, Steve. I certainly am at least the nut of Promise Keepers. I don't know what the bolts, but I'm really the nut.
Well, that's good. Now, can you fill us in on some of the things since the event? I know we've got the virtual event coming up again in September, and you can tell us about that. But what happened as a result of Promise Keepers 2020?
Well, number one, we were overwhelmed. And I mean that sincerely. July 31st and August 1st, 2020, we saw 85 different countries participate. And wow. Not just one or two, but churches all over those countries. Number two, that first weekend, we've been able to document over three quarters of a million, 750,000 men who participated. People, I should say, because some of the women jumped on as well. So, since July 31st, there's probably been, now that we've looked at deeper numbers, over a million men who've been able to participate in watching that 7 hours of content.
Wow,
it's amazing.
That's awesome. Yeah. And what are the stories that you're hearing? Anything that you could share with us?
Oh, like I said, sometimes we just literally got overwhelmed. Our staff was so busy answering, you know, some of these, and the excitement of these guys. One, they really enjoyed the tough talk, just being real straight with men, not pulling any punches. It wasn't churchy. It was straightforward. Guys, we have to deal with these problems. There were several messages which popped to the top. One was yours, Steve, because dealing with how the brain gets stuck on pornography and how it affects their relationships and tears at the core of trust in a marriage. That was so important for men to hear. Another one was Steve Berger, who just talked about how revival must come to this land through repentance.
Amen.
That repentance message. Let's get, you know, and not trying to be critical of other churches or other leaders, but really pointing out, what are we doing? We need to be preaching the Word, because it's the Word that brings men to repentance. Hmm. And we had Tony Evans, Jonathan Evans, that father-son kind of duo. Just Greg Steer, just so many really awesome speakers that the churches and individuals who were, you know, simulcasting or watching on Facebook, passing it around, those who went to YouTube. I mean, it was all over the place.
Well, Vance, thank you for that. I'll just mention to folks that September the 11th will be the encore event. If you missed it, you can log on then. So glad to get to know you, Vance. I think you're a great leader. It's a great organization. And you really have the heart of women, as well as trying to build the character of men. I think people would be shocked at how sensitive and how caring you guys are about the impact of men's behavior on women. We'll take a break. We'll come back. 1-800-229-3000. Come join us for New Life Live.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and we're back with you. Very, very glad that you have joined us here. By the way, I've mentioned it before, I'll be preaching Sunday, Saturday, 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Sunday, 9 and 11 a.m. Eastern Time. And I'm going to be talking about how do we get through stuff like this COVID epidemic? How do we get over things, this and other things? And then how do we get beyond it so that it doesn't define us, it refines us. It doesn't engulf us, it empowers us to do great things. So that's what I'm going to be preaching about. And then, so hope you'll join us there. In the meantime, if you need some help, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We would love to help you in any way. And if you want to join us on the program, 1-800-229-3000. All right, let's go and talk with Deborah. She's calling from Los Angeles, California, and she listens on the great station KKLA. Hi there. How are you, Deborah?
Hi. How are you? I'm doing
excellent.
Good, thank you. Thanks good. For taking my call.
Sure.
And for all the work that you do. Here's my situation. I'm considering going through a divorce, and I want to know if I'm morally obligated to tell my son and daughter that their father, that my husband had procreated kids with the person that he left me for.
Mm. You know, I have a friend. She was sitting in a restaurant when she was young. Mm-hmm. Her father walked in with a little girl holding his hand, and the little mm-hmm. girl called her father Daddy. He had a mm-hmm. whole other family that no one knew about. And, of course, this was mm-hmm. quite traumatic. I would hate for that to happen to your children and then them mm-hmm. know that you knew but you didn't tell them. How old are your kids?
They're older. They're 24 and 19.
Well, I think they deserve to know, but let's hear from people mm-hmm. smarter than I am. Alice, what do you think? Should she reveal this or not?
Deborah, what is holding you back from telling them? What are you worried will happen?
It's just that I have been going through a lot of things. My husband has never wanted to face anything, and I'm the one who always... I spoke to you guys about a year and a half ago or 2 years. It was married for 30 years, and my husband did not want to tell them that he had been cheating on me, that I discovered that. And I'm always the one telling my son and daughter what he's doing that is affecting our lives. He doesn't want to do it. And I'm at a point where I'm going to actually a very dark place. I'm kind of tired of, I don't want to say life, but my situations, there have been going on a lot of things in the last year and a half. I had a stroke. I was in the hospital for 10 days. I was supposed to start a job, and I had the stroke the day before I was supposed to start the job. I became the caregiver for my mother 3 years ago.
Oh, my goodness.
My daughter left to go to New York months after that, 2 weeks after I find out my husband was cheating on me.
Deborah, life has been devastating for you, and you have always carried the burden of your husband's horrific choices that he's making, and you're always the bearer of the bad news to your children. You're overwhelmed, and you probably don't feel like you have the emotional or physical energy to bring yet another piece of bad news to your children about their dad. Is that right?
That is exactly how I feel, yes.
This is too much, and life has been too much for too long for you. At the same time, I do agree with Steve that if your children do not find out from their father or from you, it will cause more problems down the road. So I'd propose you try something first, and it probably won't work, but I think it needs to be tried, which is to let your husband know you need to tell the kids.
Yeah,
if you don't tell them, I will, but it would be much better for you coming from you. It might safeguard what little relationship you have left with our kids if you would be the one to tell our kids. And Deborah, if there's any man that has influence in your husband's life, I would talk with that man as well, a brother, a father, an uncle, to try to get a man on board with encouraging your husband to tell. He probably won't, given his history and what an avoider he has been, but I think it's in the best interest of the family to try that route first.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. I think that is the way to go. You tell, or I'm going to. Chris, your thoughts?
Okay.
Deborah, I'm gonna switch this a little bit. As Alice was saying, you're carrying too much. So you're carrying the load of the impact of your husband's decisions and his destruction that is impacting your children. You're carrying the load of your mom. You're carrying the load of the family. But there's one load that you're responsible for that seems to be getting neglected, and that is your own health and wellness. And so a healthier Deborah is a better Deborah. And we know our health is slipping, and you said it really well, by going to dark places. And so what I want you to be able to do is we all do it. We all go to dark places. But what is the devastating impact is to stay in the dark place. And so what's important is that we take a flashlight in there and we look around and we invite someone else to go with us in our dark place to help show us what's going on, for us to see what's going on and what is our responsibility and not, and learning how to let go of your husband, learning how to let go of your children, but learning how to hold on and take a hold of your health and your wellness moving forward. I would highly recommend seeing a therapist.
Yeah, I done that during the year and a half. I changed therapist, and I have been going to support groups like you guys had suggested.
Good.
And I also done women's Bible study and life groups. But when I felt like I was starting to see the light that I had this job, and I was thinking, okay, good, I'm starting to see the light. And then the stroke happened the day before.
Yeah.
I lost the opportunity. The world was different when I came out from my recovery.
Yeah.
Literally,
yeah.
Because this happened at the beginning of March. And now this, and I'm having a really hard time going back to where I was, where I felt healthy, where I felt like
sure.
I was.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you called. And I would like for you to hold on, because in addition to us saying, I think they need to know, I want to see if we can find a clinician to you, because you went. But I think you need to be in counseling to get some comfort, direction, support. And really, you need some affirmation that you're headed the right direction. It's a bold move. It's difficult to do what you're doing, and I applaud you for it. So hold on. I'm going to send you 100 Days of Peace. I think it's a great devotional that you'll love. We'll send it to you, and I'm really glad that you called. Anybody else? 1-800-229-3000. You know, it is shocking. It is absolutely shocking how sick some of the behavior can be, how intertwined it all is, the secrecy that we expect others to have, or other people have expect that secrecy, and we just can't uphold a lie. And upholding a secret like this, not telling your kids that, hey, your dad has other children, you just don't want to be holding up that lie that there's no other kids but you. And I'm hoping that this isn't going to be traumatic for these kids when they find out. I just hope it will go well for them. And let's all pray that it will. All right, 1-800-229-3000. I'm going to do something else, too. I'm going to send her a Restoration Bible and hope that will be a great gift for her. All right, let's go with John here and talk with John. He is calling from Sacramento, California, and listens on the podcast. Hi, John. How are you?
I've been okay. Glad you guys are taking my call. I appreciate it a lot.
All right.
I am about almost 2 years into recovery from sexual addiction, alcoholism, and I'm in a Pure Desire group.
Good.
We meet once a week, and I'm working on my stuff. Really close to wanting to try to get a sponsor from alcoholism, too. Tackling lots of addictions and uncovering a lot of hurt that I've gone through. And right now we're going on to the part where we disclose. And I've done a full disclosure with my wife, with one of the counselors, about a year ago. And it prompts me to pick up the book again, Worthy of Her Trust, and go through the amends matrix. And I'm going through a lot of resources, and I picked that up again. But I'm looking at it through the lens of another book I'm reading, Love and Respect. And I'm hitting a wall right now with wanting to enter in with my wife right now.
Ask us a question. Ask us a question, because you know you're hitting a wall that a lot of people hit that recover. So what's the specific question that we could help you with? I think we're going to be able to help you.
Okay. How do I make amends when I'm angry that my efforts of recovery and pouring my life back into my family is not respected?
Yeah. Okay. So what I'm hearing is that you've done the hard work and you're staying with a life of integrity, but your wife isn't coming along with you here. She's not responding to the work that you're doing. Is that right?
That's right.
And you were not with another woman. This was pornography, correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay, so first of all, I want to use you a little bit here, because when a lot of people say pornography isn't harmful, it's not a real person, I think your wife is an example of millions of other women that would differ with that. So that's one thing. Second thing is,
yeah,
how long were you involved with pornography in the marriage?
We've been married, it'll be close to 20 years.
Okay.
I probably got really into it right around 2012.
Okay.
Back when I got a tablet.
So you're going to do a full disclosure. Now, let me ask you this. Most men that are involved with pornography have a tremendous anger problem down below the surface. And for recovery to be complete, they have to go in there, look at the entitlement and the anger and the bitterness. Did that impact your marriage in addition to the distance that pornography created?
Yes. I do. I did do a disclosure already.
Okay.
Disclosure.
Already did. Okay.
So yeah, there's a lot of underlying anger.
John, let me jump in. You're on year 2 of 7, by the way. Okay. I always tell couples, put seven years in your back pocket. It's different for everyone, but I do that as a rule of thumb. So I just want you to know you're still early in the process, though it feels like an eternity some days. The second thing that you're doing is that most likely your wife's anger and pain trigger your shame. So the natural reaction is to fix that, is to do whatever you can so she can no longer be in pain and be angry. But the problem is just that. Like, another disclosure I don't believe is going to do anything for you or for your wife, if I'm going to be completely honest. Because her pain doesn't need to be fixed. It needs to be held. Do you know the difference between that? Okay, now that's going to take a tremendous amount of work on your part, as well as your anger and frustration need to be heard, but that needs to be with your recovery people. The guys in your group that you can say, man, I'm really frustrated about this, I'm really angry about that, so that you can restore emotional safety back to the relationship. there's a lot more here. Of course, you need boundaries around if she has attacking or shaming language. They say, hey, it doesn't work for me. I want to hear your anger, but I need to hear it in a respectful way. But those are more conversations, especially for couples work.
Now, we have a woman that's on the program today, and we're going to hear from her about this, Dr. Alice Benton, after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and John has stepped up, and he has established sexual integrity, but things aren't moving along at the pace he'd like back home. Alice, what are your thoughts here?
John, I am so proud of you for all this hard work you're doing, and that even now you're seeking a path to better serve your wife and you're acknowledging your struggles. Mm-hmm. John, we need more men like you. And you need to hear encouragement like that. And I'm sure you wish you could get it from your wife and from your children. But you've trampled them too much for too long. 6 years of breaking your wife's heart, whether she knew it or not, destroyed the foundation of the marriage. You've done great work for 2 years, but you'll need to seek the encouragement I'm giving you outside of your family for now. And I want you to make that need known on an ongoing mm-hmm. basis to the men with whom you're in recovery. Ask for cheerleading because you do need it and you are doing better. Your wife can't be the one to give it to you for now, because she's been so damaged by your actions. So what I see so often in this process is that the betrayer backs away from the victim and is no longer able to tolerate the pain and the anger coming from the victim. And that prolongs the process and increases the anger between the two of you. Your recovery is actually hard on your wife, because as you celebrate your sobriety, and it's something to be celebrated, your celebrations and your movement and progress actually reveal a lot of the pain and can even add to some of her pain. It is very hard for victims to see the perpetrator recover and recover faster than the victim is. Mm-hmm. And so what your wife needs from you and what your children would need from you is that even though you don't want to do it, you don't feel like doing it, and it angers you, that you need to be with a couples therapist committed to the process and giving your listening ear to your wife and to her anger and to her pain. The point you want to get to eventually is being able to say, you can be as angry as you need to be, and I can sit here and listen, and I will just listen and validate. You can cry as hard as you need for as long as you need, and I'm going to sit here with you. You may not be able to do that now, so you might have to take it in smaller chunks. I can give you 5 minutes today and just hear what upsets you and move that forward, increase that. But you'll need all those ingredients to be able to help facilitate your wife's healing from the damage that you caused.
Mm. Well, I hope that something we've said has helped you. I'm going to send you the workbook with Life Recovery Bible for sexual integrity. And we did it for guys just like you who want to stay on the track, want a different approach. You've read some great books. But this is going to help you work the steps through all of this, and I think you're going to find it so very helpful. Now, this morning I was reading in my one-year Bible, and here is what I saw. God delivered the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt 430 years later. So
yeah.
I'm sure there were pleadings and begging God to do something, and God knew he would. But 430 years later, it's almost as if God has all the time in the world, you know? And so I just want to challenge you. We just have to see things, the discomfort, in a different light, because it's going to take a long, long time. Long time. And God will help us, but it's not going to be quick. So how do you help your wife? Patience, listening, validating, and try to eliminate every possible ounce of self-defense. And this phrase, most regrettable thing I've ever done, I think helps also for the other person to hear. 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. Let's go to Julie from Washington, D.C., the great station, WAVA. Hello, Julie. How are you today?
Hi, Steve. I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. Thank you so much. What's happening in your life today?
Well, first of all, thank you. I went to your last live Finding Freedom in Orange County, live before COVID hit, and it was wonderful. So I
thank
just
you.
Wanted to say thank you to you and Chris for all that you guys have done. Mm-hmm. You're amazing.
Thank you for that.
I'm calling with a problem with my 24-year-old son.
Okay.
He lives at home. He had moved out, but he's back home after a pretty serious drug-induced psychotic event. And the conditions for him to move home were, you know, you stay on your meds, you go back to school, you know, you take care of yourself. And it's been a rocky, I guess it's been 2 years now, of him not taking his meds, dropping out of school, and just getting more and more belligerent, you know, difficult to have at home. And I'm not sure how to proceed. Last night he stormed off and went to a hotel, and he would like to move out but doesn't have the means to move out. I'm not sure he's safe to move out, but having him home isn't good for the rest of us.
Yeah.
We all have a lot of trauma that we're working through.
Sure.
So that adds its own complexity. So I'm just calling for advice. What next?
You're definitely not alone. I've been working for years to try to have a place for him. Other kids that come back home and they need a transition place for about a year and to get some help. But I don't have it. We don't have it yet. But we'll give you some help. We'll try to help you make the best of a really tough, tough situation. Our phone number here, 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the Transformation Welcome Gift, which includes a personal-sized Life Recovery Bible, a Life Recovery Journal, and 5 Life Recovery Workbooks. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life Video Library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that it, not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Really hope that we can do something to inspire you here. You know, this is a tough time with the COVID virus, and some people think the best way to keep from touching their face is have a beer in one hand and whiskey in the other. I don't think that that's good advice. I think you ought to not do that. Other people say that the way they keep from throwing a fit with their family, being around them so much, is having a beer in one hand and whiskey in the other. I don't think it's good for that either. We want to help you. If you're struggling, a lot of people are, and it's not fun. And so please, you know, call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Call us. Now, let's go back, and this is really a frustrating call. Julie's got a 24-year-old son living back home, won't take his medication. She doesn't know what to do. Let's start with you, Alice. What do you have to say?
Oh, sister, what a struggle to watch your son suffering, and yet the help that you and the family are trying to give him is exacerbating the suffering for everyone under that roof. It must be heartbreaking for you to see. And would you tell me, are there minor kids under the roof as well?
He's got two younger siblings, a 14-year-old sister and an, well, 18, I guess he's not minor, but 18-year-old brother.
Okay. So I'm going to tell you something difficult. I believe that the way you're trying to love him is keeping him stuck and keeping him sick. Your attempt to give him protection and the roof over his head might actually be keeping him in this cycle and in this process. How do you take that from me?
I kind of expected that. I think I just need to hear someone say it.
Mm-hmm. Why have you let this go on for 2 years?
Because I feel bad for him. Because they've been through hell and back the last 7 years because of their dad.
Mm. Just give us a brief sketch of that. What happened with their dad?
In 2010, I found out he had a whole secret life, sexual addiction, drug addiction, put us thousands of dollars in debt, and when he was confronted, he took off and wanted nothing to do with the kids or I. And it's just been a crazy roller coaster ever since. And my son has dealt with it in different ways. He had an eating disorder for a while and drugs for a while. His sister went off the rails and drug addiction, so they've dealt with all that. It's been a really, really difficult few years.
Julie, your family has been in the storm for these years, and a great deal of it was caused by their father. And so I believe that your tender heart and also your perhaps guilt and fear are motivating your decision to continue to provide for your son, even though he is not choosing to live by the rules that you set for him. And so your motivation and what you're doing is completely understandable, but it's keeping the family sick. Your son has not yet hit his bottom. He has not yet experienced enough pain to desire to change or to choose to change. And so what you'll have to do as his mother is allow him to choose this path he's taking and limit, restrict your resources that you have for him so that he can hopefully hit the bottom that he needs to then get help. And it might include something like offering the Salvation Army to him, which is a place where he can live, he can work, he can get help. It's Bible-based because he can't afford to go anywhere else. But he is choosing not to respect your rules, and that's endangering all of you.
Yeah, here's the thing. We understand the motivation and trying to help him given all that's happened to him. But we can't compensate by doing enabling things and unhealthy things, then we're adding insult to injury. So it's almost like we have to parent as if this was the hand that he was dealt. We want to have compassion for that. We want to give it the best shot we have, and you have. But him not taking medication, not surrendering, not complying, is evidence that after 2 years, it's not working. When we have defiant kids and they hit a crisis and they don't become a little more compliant and willing, then we've got a huge problem. And I totally get that guilt and shame that would prevent you from essentially moving him out onto the yard, Salvation Army, driveway, whatever. Chris, your thoughts here.
Yeah, the first thing is I'm just curious. Is he sober? Is he still using?
He's not. So the psychosis scared him enough where he won't even go near drugs. Although he will drink, you know, a beer or two here and there, but he does not.
Yeah, and there are some, you know, he's 24, so there are some great trauma recovery programs out there that are, some of them are week-long, some of them are extended stay, like even up to 30 to 45 days. And so the challenge is they tend to be pretty pricey. But if you explore some things out there and, you know, I can, if you stay on the line, we get your email, I can email you some of those resources as well. But there are resources out there for him to be able to get into a safe place and really work through the deeper pain and hurt that is hijacking his life over and over and over again. Again, if he is unwilling to do that, yeah, I mean, you need to protect the safety of your children, other children that are in the home, your own sanity, your own well-being. And as Alice was saying, he may need to find a new bottom.
So, Julie, you could start a conversation about an exit plan where you apologize that you've allowed this to go on for so long and you realize it's not been in his best interest, and you give him a set amount of time for him to make his final choices about what he's going to do under your roof, and if within that 30 days or couple weeks, if he continues to choose what he's always been choosing, then you let him know you're going to do some things differently to protect your home, to protect your family, and to try to love him better than you have so far.
Yeah, and here's the thing. No, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, the reason that I called right now is I just had gotten off the phone with him, and he was like, I'll do whatever you want me to do, whatever. But he said that before, so yeah. I don't believe him. So this,
well,
this makes
sense. Well, then I would simply find the resource and hold on, and we'll try to find one. But I would say to him, here's what I want you to do, and then follow through and let him know, if you don't do this because you've said you would do it before but you wouldn't do it, then we have to go a different direction here. And I think you're onto something, and maybe he's close to turning this thing around. I sure hope so. And you know, it's a horrible situation to experience that kind of rejection. So, you know, he needs a growth program. The 12 steps are a growth program. 7 keys are a growth, but he needs a growth program, and he needs a support program, and then he needs a treatment program. And if he can't get all three, he needs 2 out of 3. So it will give you some help here offline. Now, I'm going to send you a copy of the Life Recovery Bible with the workbook, and I'm just going to suggest that you hand it to him and say, here, take this. And see what you can do with it, because I think he could really do some good work. Sometimes if we can't get treatment for a child and they're complying, we have to be the in-home treatment center where we're not catering to them, but we're saying, okay, here's what we're going to do today. You go to work or you go look for a job, but then we're going to do the program this evening, and you're going to work on this stuff. And when they don't, then now we've got a bigger problem here. All right, 1-800-229-3000. That is the phone number. Let's go to Amy. Houston, Texas is where she's calling from. Hi, Amy. How are you today?
Good, and you?
Pretty good. I'm having a little difficulty hearing you there. I think you're either in a tunnel or you need to get an upgrade on that phone.
Okay.
But how can we help you? That's okay.
I'm sorry. Under a tunnel. I need to know what to do. I'm in a situation where my husband and I have been married over 40 years. He is, you know, no longer performs sexually. It's been years. And I am just, I'm feeling ashamed and frustrated. And at the same time, I know I'm committing a sin when I desire to have relations. But I'm not doing anything. I'm just missing that from him.
Sure.
And
yeah.
He will not. He does not care to touch, hold hands, or anything, because he's afraid of not being able to do anything, and that's a manly thing, I guess, you know.
Well, so, it is sad if he sees it all about his performance versus, you know, you can have sexually fulfilling experiences, even though not everything works the way it used to work. We'll give you some help for this. Right after we take a break, got the music going. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000. And how sad when we give up on sexual intimacy. And it's right there, you know. A lot of people say, well, I'm not going to unless I'm connected. But sometimes it brings about connection. Doesn't have to be intercourse, but it's there.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and we're talking here with Amy, Houston, Texas, Sirius XM. Sexual intimacy, dead in the marriage. Husband doesn't want to get close because he's afraid it would result in moving that direction, and he can't perform the way he would like to. Alice, let's start with you and then you, Chris, all right? What do you think, Alice?
Amy, would you tell me briefly about your best attempt to bring this to his attention and ask for greater emotional intimacy with him?
I have asked him to touch me, you know, to be with me, to hold me, to try, you know, that I know he can't do anything, but it would help me. And he avoids it as much as possible.
So I'm going to propose a different tactic for you, and I'm glad you have made the attempts. And this has been a lonely marriage for many years, and that weighs heavily on you. Yes.
Yeah.
I would imagine actually was lonely before he started to struggle sexually. Is that right?
Well, he wasn't looking at other women, looking at pornography, but yet I would ask him, what about me, you know? What about me? Why am I not getting attention? And then this happened to him, and now that I'm wanting something, I can't get it. So
I'd suggest you try a couple of things with him, and they may not go anywhere, but they need to be attempted anyhow. One is, this is tough because this will take compassion you may not be feeling for him, but it's to acknowledge his fear and be curious about his fear. Husband, I know that you've been struggling. I know that you're missing that part of your life and your ability. And I think it scares you when I ask for you to hold me and to touch me. Would you tell me about that fear that you feel? And just listen to him without defending, without attacking. Just listen to him. And then, in a separate conversation, I want you to appeal to intimacy. I miss you. I miss what we have had in the past. And I wonder if you... Good. And I want you to tell him again.
Yeah.
I want you to tell him again. And I'd like you to reassure him. You know, I'd like some time with you. I'd like to just sit by you. Whatever you're willing to do to just be near me physically, but I want you to know we're not pursuing sex in this. But I just want to make a kind of a surface level reconnection with you, and we're not going for sex. The third thing I think you need to do, Amy, is to make a confession. Husband, I'm struggling because I am having temptations about thoughts of other people, and I need to confess that to you. And that's partly why I've been asking this of you, is partly why I want to get closer to you, because I am being tempted and I'm worried about our marriage.
I hope that's helpful to you. And then the other thing, Chris, you have something you want to add here?
Well, I think the elephant in the room is his use of pornography. And what can shut down a male's ability to be sexual with his wife, a husband with his wife, is obviously another woman. But if that's not the case, or both and, is shame. And so if he's carrying around this secret, if he's carrying around this shame, if he's carrying around a fear around all of that, then he's going to be shut down. And it's not going to – his body isn't going to wake up until he addresses that.
I think there's something there he doesn't talk about. I know that I've caught him before and I've asked him why, you know,
yeah.
Why are you looking at them? Why can't you look at me?
Yeah.
Well, I know that
okay.
I'm not...
So we've talked about this before, but there is a phenomena that occurs that the man gets bonded to the pornography.
Mm-hmm.
It neuters the man when it comes to a real-life person, and then you become a threat to what he's bonded to, and he's very aggressive toward you. If he would go to every man's battle... and the two of you would come to our intimacy and marriage workshop, I think you've got hope.
Yeah.
But I think you might be minimizing the pornography thing just by asking and being curious versus demanding, hey, look, given that I'm over here dying, you have to give this up. If there's any decency in you, please quit using this taking care of yourself, and here I am. That's what I would do. So I'm going to send you a copy of Worthy of Her Trust. I hope that that will be helpful to you. And I just hope and pray he would go to every man's battle. You could go to restore, and then both of you come to our intimacy in marriage weekend. That's what we have to offer. All right, Larry Sonnenberg's in the studio. Larry, how you doing today, and what do you have for us?
Well, I'm doing good, and I have a testimony from Every Man's Battle that I wish Amy would hear. Mm. It's this gentleman writes, "This Every Man's Battle workshop is life-changing in many ways. It has allowed for healing, hope, and no shame to be established in men who have been broken. The speakers have been transparent in every way with sincerity and compassion. This Every Man's Battle workshop is changing lives for the cause of Christ. It's a workshop that meets each one at his needs and helps us to be restored."
Amen.
And so, double whammy here. I just want to remind guys, a week from Saturday, we're doing our next Every Man's Battle workshop online. Mm-hmm. One day. You can do it. And I'd ask, sign up now. We've had a lot of people sign up, and they sign up the last 2 days. And it puts a little bit of a challenge on us to make sure we have it covered with our counselors we need.
Yeah.
So if you could sign up now in the next week before the last day or two, that would help us.
But and maybe somebody, Larry, is just like our previous caller, and you've wondered, well, why are you doing that and not me? And mm-hmm. this would be a great time to say to him, hey, listen, I want you to do this. I don't think people realize thousands of men are there. They've gone through and succeeded because a wife just said, please do this.
Yep.
Not you have to do it or I'm leaving if you don't. But, and that happens too. But the wife just says, please mm-hmm. do this
and
one day.
What's easier than one day? And you don't have to leave your home. You just
right.
get in a private spot and you're done for the day when it's over. And you're not. It's not solved and you're not fixed, so to speak, but you have so much hope. You have tools, you have a plan, you know what to do, and you'll be a different person, I guarantee.
Yeah, that's right.
So
all right,
we're looking for people to support this kind of ministry that helps men experience this, helps women experience it, and restore couples in the marriage workshop. You know, that's so we need your help. We just need some support. We need you to give us a one-time gift, join Club New Life, whatever you can do to help financially, because COVID has reduced giving. And it's been a challenge, but thank God for Club New Life. Without Club New Life, we'd be in a real world of hurt.
So. Yeah, all right. So let me encourage you to call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We've got a little gift for you here, the 12 Gifts of Life Recovery. It's a great little book, and it gives you some quality of spiritual life things to integrate into your life. I think you're going to really love it. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And, of course, we've got this massive library of books that we give you if you decide to join Club New Life. Please help us help others. I know it will change a lot of other people's lives. But what we hear is it changes your life, too, when you become part of the giving family. And every time somebody gets help, you feel like, hey, I was part of that. I helped that happen. All right. We're going to say goodbye to you and do another program right here, right after this. 1-800-229-3000. If you want to join us, you can catch it on Facebook Live. We'll see you next time. Really glad you're with us here. Hope and pray you're getting through all that we're all going through. With sanity, clarity, and healing.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.